Let us turn to the psalm we have been singing, Psalm 116, and let us consider verses 12 and 13. Psalm 116, at verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. The psalmist is conscious of God's goodness towards him, conscious of his benefits. And we have many benefits, but what we are to consider particularly just now is benefits of a spiritual kind. We have all reason to be conscious of God's goodness to us in providing food and drink and matters of that kind, which are very real and very important, which are necessary for our existence, our continued existence. But we will focus largely, if not entirely, on spiritual benefits. And the psalmist is conscious that he should be thankful. Conscious that he should be thankful. So the question with him is, what will I give to God because of his goodness toward me? What can I do by way of showing my thankfulness? And the answer is, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And when he is thinking about the cup of salvation, he is thinking perhaps in the sort of terms that you would go, when you would go and ask somebody for a drink, it comes in a cup, probably, a cup of water, a cup of milk, a cup of soup, whatever it might be. And not only when he takes the cup of salvation, the cup of further benefits, you see. He's talking about thanking God for benefits. Well, it seems counterintuitive for us that if somebody has given you blessings and you want to thank them, what you're about is to take further benefits. You would think that when you get a blessing, when you get a gift, that what you might do is to give them a gift in return. But when we're dealing with God, when we're dealing with spiritual benefits, what we are told here is that what we should be doing is looking for further benefits. I will take the cup of salvation. I will take the provision that God has made to me, and I'll take more of it. That's how God considers himself repaid, if we can use the word in that sort of context. That's the way we are to express our thanks to God and call on the Lord for the supply of further needs. Yes, we are to express thankfulness. And there's this in verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord. We will come back to that, and that sort of thing is expressed more than once. You have it in verse 18. There's a reference in verse 17 to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. There were thank offerings to be offered under the Old Testament form of worship. But there's 2 points that I wish to emphasize. First is something about the benefits. And then, secondly, the response to God's benefits. The way of thanking God for his benefits, it's this: I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. First, the benefits, and second, how we are to show our thankfulness for these benefits. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Well, first of all, the psalmist obviously was in a situation at this time when he had particular benefits to acknowledge. And he acknowledges that God is gracious, our God is merciful, and in verse 6, I was brought low, and he helped me. There was a benefit. God helped, although he was brought low, whatever circumstances these might have been. He had found trouble and sorrow. He had experienced the sorrows of death compassing him, and the pains of hell taking hold upon him. Now, these aren't spelt out. That doesn't matter. Very often, when the particulars aren't spelt out, when the matter is left in a general way, it's giving us a wider scope of things to think about. If it was all spelt out, we might say, yes, I can relate to point A, point B, point C, but if they're not spelled out, then there's so many things that we should be able to relate to. We could say that the psalmist is thinking not only of the points he might have mentioned, but everything I need comes into this. And that's the way we're to think of God, as doing good to his own people. He is ready to supply all their needs, not just a few, not just spiritual, but temporal also. All the needs that a believer has, he's to go to God for them. And we're pointed in that direction when these things are spoken of generally. And you have it in verse 1. He hath heard my voice and my supplications. He has heard me speaking to him. It occurs to me to ask, are you, or put it this way, does God hear your voice? Does God often hear your voice in prayer too, asking for blessings for your soul especially? Does God hear you coming to him, asking, forgive my sins? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Does God hear your voice in these ways, and does God hear these supplications made to him? And there'll be many a one here who will say something like this, perhaps: how could I live if I wasn't able to go to God to ask for the forgiveness of my sin and to ask to be accepted for the sake of Christ? How could I live if I wasn't able, if I didn't feel free to go before God to have these needs supplied? Yes. And you see, whoever was the psalmist that wrote Psalm 57, he speaks of God in this way: God who performeth all things for me. Everything that I need and everything that is done for me in this life, God does it. You see, that's his view of things. And it should be our view of things. God who does everything. Yes. It's God that does everything. I would be lost apart from that. I wouldn't be able to look for the forgiveness of my sins. I wouldn't be able to look for acceptance. I wouldn't be able to look for my sins to be subdued unless I could look to God for it. Unless I could look to God to do everything that I need. Otherwise I'm lost. Otherwise I will drift on through the river of time and be washed up on some bank somewhere. Ah, no, that's not how we're to be looking at things. We're to be looking at God taking us under his care, or taking us more and more under his care. That's it. Taking us more and more under his care. That's what we need. That's what we should be looking for. Is it like that with yourself? I am needy. I'm poor and needy. Is that the end of it? Yet of me, the Lord, a care doth take. Thou art my help and Savior. You see, tracing the supply of all one's needs back to God himself. Now, one could speak on the benefits in many a way, but if we just go out a little in that way just now, the Lord supply all our needs. And in particular, it just crosses my mind just now, in connection with a communion season. We'll have plenty needs in connection with a communion season, if we're to think of that. How will we get them supplied? Oh, the God who gives benefits. The God who invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The God who performs all things for us. Whatever needs these may be, whatever particular sphere of spiritual need, oh, it's to God we must go. He's the one that must supply our needs. Christ Jesus. Yes, he came into the world to save sinners, but that's not what I'm particularly pointing to just now. But Christ Jesus came into the world to supply all the possible needs of sinners. Yes, he came to answer their needs. He came to so that he might, from his throne in heaven, hear in their voices and their supplications. See? We could go over a great deal of ground in connection with salvation, but there's other areas of ground, of spiritual ground, so to speak, that we should be going over in connection with the supply of need, that he would hear our petitions. Of course, if God is going to hear our petitions, then there's the answer to these petitions, the actual supplying of our needs. But, you see, what a great matter it is that there is one who can do all things for us, that there is one who can hear our prayers and, as the great intercessor, bring these petitions or supplications, or whatever word you use, they all will have their own shade of meaning, but bring these matters before the throne of God as one who is able to present them, and to present them in a way that the Father is bound to take notice of them. You see, Christ, and you have an example of his intercession, a lengthened example in John 17, which I hope to refer to later, but you see, he is able to supply all the needs of his people and all the needs of sinners everywhere, sinners of every kind. when he brings them to a better mind, when he brings them to consider their need and brings them to begin to pray, to bring their supplications before God for the sake of Christ. And then it's not so much that they are presenting their petitions before God, but it's the case of Christ taking up their petitions and presenting them and saying, I will. Yes, I will that this petition be heard for the sake of what I did when I was in this world. This is my will. And him the Father heareth always, we read. Yes, the Father always hears the Son. And to say that the Father hears the Son is as good as to say that the Father answers the petitions brought before him by the Son. Yes. Oh, the great things that the Lord is ready and willing to do because of what the Son did. Yes. Able to bring the petitions of poor sinners in this world who have been going astray, and yet the petition and petitions that they might be brought back. Now, you see, there's references, as I pointed out already, to paying one's vows. And that expression may be used with reference to the Lord's Supper. It's obviously not the original, not the main reference of it. The people in Israel could make vows in concerning many a thing, and by way of paying one's vows, in whatever the vow particularly took into account, promising to bring a sacrifice at some particular time. Paul, though he was a New Testament believer, he was paying his vows that brought him to Jerusalem. But, you see, if we are committing ourselves to doing something of a spiritual nature, serving the Lord in some particular way perhaps, then, you see, that the vow must be paid, or there's something wrong. The vow must be paid, if it's at all possible. If if the vow is made but it's not paid, well, it would be better not to have made the vow. But we read in Leviticus about the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving. I don't want to try to expound all that. But you see, there was an offering. There was a thank offering. God had given some blessing. And so, by way of thanksgiving, the person who had vowed would want to make this offering, giving up something by way of reference to God, by way of an expression of his thankfulness. Now, that would be before the psalmist's mind, very likely, though what he is thinking about in our text is not a thanksgiving, or I should say a thank offering as such. We'll come to say more about that shortly. But let us notice what is a particular New Testament equivalent, where we have it in the last chapter of Hebrews. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. It's the Old Testament language, a sacrifice But it's a sacrifice of praise. And it is explained in this way. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, giving thanks to God through our lips, through what we sing. Praise to God for his benefits. Praise to God for his goodness. And we might just say, there is God showing so many of his attributes, what is true about him, showing these and giving benefits to God, in receiving benefits from God. And when Moses was asking God to reveal himself to him, when Moses was asking God to show his glory, and God spoke by way of reply, and he said that he was the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Now, if you were to try to go out on these two verses there in Exodus 34, you would have a lot of ground to cover if you were to try to do it in any sense adequately. You would have a lot of ground to consider. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, though these two words are very similar in meaning. Long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. God revealing himself. And when God reveals himself, we are to seek to take it in. We are to seek to receive what was what God has said in making himself known. And of course, God is making himself known, not only in what he says, but in what he does. God is making himself known in his mercy, for instance, when he comes for the salvation of a sinner. And that sinner is brought to plead for mercy. And God answers that request by showing himself to be merciful, by giving a revelation in what he does of his mercy. That's by way of example. God revealing himself in his great mercy. And we should be asking the Lord to do that. But secondly, when God shows himself merciful, and when God grants benefits, and very many benefits, to individual sinners, you see, what's to be the response? How are those to respond who have received benefits from God? And the answer is, the psalmist's answer. I'm not saying it's the only answer. We've spoken about various answers. But the psalmist's answer, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. There's a cup of salvation. And you might say that the sinner coming to Christ is receiving a cup from Christ. He's receiving a cup that he's going to drink. And by God's mercy, he will drink it. In God's kindness, that cup is put in his hands. Now, you can say that when God is answering the request of a sinner, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Take that petition that is so commonly quoted and well worth quoting. God be merciful to me, a sinner, a needy sinner. And what is the Lord doing when he answers that petition? He's coming to the sinner with a cup. And he holds out the cup to the sinner that the sinner might take it and drink it. that the sinner might receive the blessings of salvation, the cup of salvation. So the sinner, by God's grace, receives that cup. Cup of forgiveness, cup of holiness, cup of the various graces. That's all in the cup. Yes, we think of the cup that the Savior took. It had in it the cup of, it had in it suffering, even unto death, that he might have a cup of salvation to give to sinners. And I mean to come back to that. But you see, I will take the cup of salvation. I will receive more of God's saving benefits. That's how I'm to show my thankfulness for the benefits God has shown to me. I'm not to say, I've been converted. My sins have been forgiven. I can stop. I can leave off asking for blessings. I can be satisfied with what I have received. That's enough. I'll move on. Now, that's not appropriate. No, I will take the cup of salvation. That same cup, as by God's grace and great weakness, with little life in my soul, yet I took from the cup of salvation in my weakness. And I should be very thankful if that is the case. Now, what is that sinner to do? Yes, he's to be thankful. And she is to be thankful. And how does he or she show that thankfulness? Well, the great thing is this. To take that cup of salvation over again. Take more out of it. It's still brimming over with blessings, with benefits. That's one thing we have to think of. The cup of salvation which the sinner took when he came to Christ first, it's still brimming over with benefits. So he will come again, and she will come again, and she will receive further benefits. And in doing so, that person is showing their thankfulness to God. I will take the cup of salvation over again, and I will call in the name of the Lord. I will call on him to bless me still. The Lord of us hath mindful been, and he will bless us still. That's the spirit of our text. He has been mindful of us. He has shown his benefits. So, let us take that cup again. Let us take further benefits. Let us call in the name of the Lord for further benefits. Yes. Now, the spirit of that that I'm trying to describe is the same spirit as was expressed in taking up the land of Israel when the children of Israel had begun to take it over. And one thing that was said was, there remaineth very much land to be possessed. And the people of God should be saying, there still remains very many blessings to be taken up. We've had the beginnings of salvation, but we will take up further benefits. We've been forgiven, let us say, but we're still sinning. We need further forgiveness. We need to be made more and more holy. That's what's been said before us here. Yes. And we are encouraged to go to the Lord. We are encouraged to call upon the name of the Lord. The Savior does that on the Sermon of the Mount in particular, where he says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. All these encouragements to ask for more, to take more. That's to be the life of the believer in this world. taking and taking and taking. That's not the way to behave in natural things in relation to other people. It is the way to act in relation to God, to keep going. You see, God is a ready giver. And here is the attitude of faith to this ready giver. I will go again, and I will go again, and again, and again. What else can I do if I'm thinking properly? Am I going to stop going because the storehouses of the Josephs of the New Testament are running low? The supplies are running low, and if I keep on at this rate, and if others were to keep on at this rate, they would run out. Is that the attitude of faith? Is that the way that we are to receive the testimony of Scripture? Of course not. It's this. The wells of salvation are ever full. They will never run dry. And we are to be thinking in that way. I must keep going. I mustn't stop. I mustn't fill my mind with unbelieving thoughts. Oh, may we get grace so that that would be the way that we are thinking. We're to keep taking the cup of salvation again and again, each new day, each new Sabbath day in particular. The Lord is stretching out his hand with the cup of salvation so that we would receive it, so that we would take it and drink it, so that we would take it and drink it, that the unconverted would take it for the first time. You see, that's one thing we are to have in mind and to keep in mind, that the cup of salvation is stretched out for the unconverted to receive. The cup of salvation, what will we say is in the cup? It's salvation for every sinner that will believe. Do not push it away from you. But you can ask that the Lord would put it to your lips so that you might drink. You say, I cannot believe. Well, ask the Lord to put the cup of salvation to your lips so that you would take a long, long drink. Yes. Oh, what the Lord is able to do. If we could stress it, and if we could put it into words, what the Lord is able to do for sinners, and this great matter that he is able to put the cup of salvation to the lips of a sinner, so that the sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, the sinner who has a huge pile of guilt where he is and needs to be forgiven. Ah, what he needs is the cup of salvation, and what he needs is to take a good long drink from the cup of salvation. But if I can get this matter across, the willingness of Christ to put the cup of salvation, to the mouth of the sinner. You might think that you are ready to receive the cup of salvation, and it would be good if that was true, but there's this aspect of things, the readiness of the giver to put the cup of salvation to your mouth and to make you able to drink it. The readiness of the giver to put the cup of salvation to your mouth and make you able and willing to receive what is in the cup. The fullness of blessing. Oh, how good it would be to receive that benefit, that saving benefit, the power and the willingness to take that cup. and to drink from it. And you will never exhaust that cup. You will never exhaust that cup. It is so full. It is so suited to your need. You see, you might have a dose of medicine. You are too weak to take it. But perhaps two nurses might come and raise you up in bed and hold you in place and put the cup or whatever it might be to your lips and hold you from slipping down in bed while you take the medicine. Well, that's something of what the Lord is able to do. And then, you see, there's this to encourage the people of God to come again and again. Psalm 34, verse 10, they that seek the Lord shall not want or shall not lack any good thing. What believer do you feel that you need? What in particular do you feel that you need? Well, the Lord will not withhold from you if you will go to him for it. If you will receive it by faith, he will not withhold any good thing from you. And you have the promise, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But let us notice what was true of Christ. I think I referred to it briefly, but the cup that Christ had to drink, and he said, the cup that my Father giveth me, shall I not drink it? The cup that my Father giveth me, the cup of suffering, even unto death, shall I not drink it? Why will I refuse it? Oh, it was part of the covenant of grace. It was part of the everlasting covenant between the Father and the Son from all eternity. God the Son agreeing to drink this cup to the very bottom, that there might be a full salvation for sinners. Shall I not drink? Shall I not be willing to drink it? Shall I not be ready to drink it? And shall I not drink it down to the very utmost? And you see in prophecy in Psalm 40, what was said about what Christ was saying about his readiness to take that cap and all that was associated with that cap. Lo, I come to do thy will. I take delight. O thou my God that art. He was delighting in taking that cap because God was going to be glorified in it. He was going to be glorified. There was going to be a full and a complete and a suitable provision for sinners. And not just in their first coming to Christ, but all the way along. Yes. And you see, if we come back to this on the basis of Christ taking the cup, of Christ suffering in the place of sinners, the petitions from John 17, these petitions from his high priestly prayer as the intercessor, as the great intercession on the basis of the sacrifice that he offered. He was saying, I pray that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's for his people. That's Christ coming as the intercessor for his people, as the mediator. And he prays to the Father. He presents this petition. And they can present this petition and similar petitions and petitions of every kind for that matter, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, from doing evil, or from evil in the sense of what would do me harm even physically, but especially what would do me harm spiritually. I pray, and I put my petition into the hand of the great intercessor. Yes. And when I have reason to thank God for his benefits towards me, then I take up petitions like that. That's what I am to do. That's what the people of God should be doing. They should be taking these petitions, and they should be saying, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Yes, and again. And these are just examples of what the Savior might have said in his intercession. But here's another example. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How are they to be made holy? Well, for one thing, they're to come before God, conscious of their unholiness, conscious of their sin, and that they need to be put right, and that they have other benefits that they have to acknowledge and thank God for. And so they ask this, sanctify me through thy truth. So bless the word to my soul that I would be presenting, that it would be coming before thee with this petition. This petition for being made holy. You see, there's any number of petitions we should be bringing before God. May the Lord teach us. That's the thing. May the Lord teach us. We can go on in ignorance, but you see, we are to commit ourselves to God. And then there's this final petition as far as this world is concerned, when the Savior says, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. When a child of God is taken away, and we are conscious of that many a time, and at this time in particular, it's not just that the body, I was considering saying, collapses. When the bodily strength comes to an end, when bodily strength runs out, and when they are not able to function any longer, when the body is just past continuing, it's not just that, but there's been a petition. There's been a petition. The person who has, let's say, become ill, might not pray in that way. But there's been a petition presented in heaven, because the Savior has seen that it is good for that person to leave this world and to come to glory and enjoy all the benefits. All the benefits of existing in heaven. He says, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may now be brought to heaven. You see, the Savior is praying, the Savior is presenting petitions on the basis of what he did. You see, what he did for that person who was brought to eternal glory is a complete salvation. And there will come a time for each of the people of God here today when they will be brought to glory, and when the Savior will make intercession for that to happen. Yes, that the people of God would be brought to glory. And so, if they are to be taking of the cup of salvation, then they have every encouragement to do so. And if they are to be eating and drinking at the Lord's Supper, these symbols of the Lord's broken body and shed blood, then they have every encouragement to take much. I don't mean to take much of the actual bread and much of the actual wine, but what I mean is the benefits that are held out to the people of God at the Lord's table, they are to take much of it. And you can refer to that, these words in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, eat O friends. Drink, ye, drink abundantly, O beloved. Notice that, drink abundantly, but eat abundantly. Take all you can, as it were, of the spiritual benefits held out as symbolized in the Lord's Supper. All the benefits of the covenant of grace, and think of the Lord's Supper as the seal of the covenant which promises a full salvation. Take of all the fullness of blessing that is symbolized in what is held out in the Lord's Supper. Yes. Now, the Lord's Supper is for the people of God. And they're to be, you see, not least in the light of what we have here is, what will I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will take the cup of salvation in that particular sense that it can be understood in the way that the benefits, that spiritual benefits are held out to the people of God at the Lord's table. Yes, I will take the cup of salvation. The Lord has been good to me. Oh, there may be many a doubt, but the Lord has been good to me, the child of God is to say, and therefore I must take the benefits that are set before me. I mustn't hold back. By God's grace, I will go and take the cup of salvation. It's there for me to get good for my soul. It's a strengthening ordinance, is the Lord's Supper. And therefore, the child of God is to say, I am to take the cup of salvation. I am to receive this. Along these lines of thinking, what lines? That I have a responsibility to thank God for all his benefits towards me. I'm not to forget about that. And if the Lord has shown me saving benefits, then by way of showing my thankfulness, among other reasons, by way of showing my thankfulness, then I am to take this cup of salvation. I am to take this bread of salvation. I might say that I might get more good for my soul. And you see, it's all there. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. And in particular, to pay one's vows unto the Lord. Perhaps there have been vows. Perhaps you have not paid your vows. Well, ask the Lord for grace, for strength, to pay your vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And we've been speaking of a cup. We've been speaking of bread. But let me remind everyone, including the unconverted, the invitation that we have in Psalm 55, and there are a number of invitations there, but this one at the beginning, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, ye come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Receive spiritual blessings as they are held out to you for the good of your soul. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy on us, Lord, that knowest we are needy. Have many a need before thee. O, keep us and lead us on safely and bring us to thyself. May Christ draw us. May we feel the authority of his word, and may we feel the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us to thyself. Oh, do not leave any of us to ourselves, but may we be seeking good from thee, and may thy people be seeking good, and may they be enabled to receive Christ and him crucified, and to thank, and then to thank thee in all the ways that thou art setting before them. Pardon us and bless us and keep us and build up thy cause and do wonderful things Remember us at a communion season. Pour out thy blessing and do us good for Jesus' sake. Amen.